Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. My guest today is Graham Hickey, Vice President of Engineering at PQ Shield. Graham has over 25 years of experience in the semiconductor industry creating cryptographic IP and security subsystems for secure products. Formerly of NXP Semiconductor, he was senior manager of the company's Secure Hardware Subsystems Group, responsible for developing security and cryptographic solutions for an expansive range of business lines. Welcome to the podcast, Graham.
Thanks, Daniel. It's very nice to be here.
Yeah. First, can you tell us how you came to the semiconductor industry?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So when I was at university, I was very interested in semiconductor physics, and I got the opportunity to join what was Motorola Semiconductor Products back then, who had a many wafer fabs in Scotland at that point. And I joined there, and I was working as a device engineer, actually, within the semiconductor fab. So that really, you know, got me into working in the whole semiconductor industry. And at that time, Motorola was actually leading the market in, you know, smart cards, or defining that market, which was one of the first products to introduce cryptography and security. So that kind of led me into that area. I joined working on those products through testing and product engineering within semiconductors, and eventually starting to get involved in design. And from there, I worked on many different secure and cryptographic products from companies like Atmel and Inside Secure and NXP, as you mentioned as well. So, been quite a number of years in semiconductors, but also in the cryptography and security space specifically.
And what brought you to PQ Shield?
Yeah, so I think I became aware of post-quantum cryptography probably maybe 6 years ago now. The role I was working in at NXP was very central to developing, you know, crypto solutions for, you know, many different range of products. And PQC was coming along there, so I was very aware of it. And then PQ Shield was on my radar as a small startup. You know, I thought that actually sounded quite a cool place to work in a new technology which was evolving. And I got approached by the CEO to join, and, you know, the opportunity to work at a startup doesn't come along so often in the semiconductor space. So I think it was a good opportunity for me to try something new in a smaller company, but, you know, working on new generation of technologies that I had experience with over the years. So, I guess that's the background.
Great. So let's get into it. You know, currently the world is coalescing around a 5 to 10 year window to adopt post-quantum cryptography, but no two pieces of guidance are exactly the same. So what timeline should semiconductor manufacturers be working towards for PQC compliance?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess the 5 to 10 year adoption window is really been driven a lot by NIST and the CNSA timeline that they've published. And that's really to, you know, gives a timeline for everyone within different use cases of cryptography to be compliant to PQC. And it's becoming more of a compliance issue than you know, anything to do with quantum computers within this area. But in terms of semiconductors, what's critical here is this timescale, because, you know, as you know, you know, design cycles for large semiconductors are multi-year. You know, it could be 2 or 3 years to develop a large chip. So really, in order to ensure that these chips are compliant to these post-quantum standards, they really should be starting to look at the adoption now and to make sure that they're fully in place for 2030, for example. In some cases, software updates may be possible, but really to have a secure and performant implementation in a chip, it's important that the manufacturers can really start to understand the implications of these algorithms and how they differ from existing crypto, I think is a key part. And so in order to really have that in place and be compliant for the types of markets that they want to sell these into, they really should be having these as part of their roadmap and starting to architect these solutions into the products now.
And at what stage of the transition is the semiconductor market at currently? I mean, do we need to accelerate this to meet NIST and NSA deadlines?
So yes, I would say in most cases that it has to be accelerated. As I'd say most semiconductor companies are probably still in a discovery and evaluation phase for PQC. Obviously varies. Some companies that have experience in secure markets for products requiring things like common criteria will have been looking at this for probably some time. But a lot of more different application spaces for semiconductors, these companies potentially have just started to look. And that will be driven by things like the standards which came along for the new PQC algorithms last year. Many companies will have waited until we have a final standard from NIST. But that can be considered a starting gun, but it means that these companies now have to go through the process of really understanding how these solutions fit within their current architectures, what potentially needs to change to accommodate them. So yeah, I do think there probably is a real need to accelerate the understanding and adoption of these algorithms within the semiconductor space as a whole.
What does good PQC look like for semiconductors today? I mean, what will good PQC look like in 5 years' time, once the transition deadlines arrive?
Yeah, so I'd say good right now is probably having an implementation of the in hardware or in a co-design of the standards which were ratified last year. So that's the MLKM, MLDSA, perhaps the SLHDSA signature scheme as well. So having some sort of acceleration in hardware, some sort of security from implementation attacks such as side channel and fault, that you would be in a good place if you had this in your design cycle or even about to tape out right now. I think having those as a hybrid flexible software hardware co-design is probably prudent as well at this point, given the new nature of these algorithms. There's always new potential implementation attacks that come along. So that's probably a good place to be, offering hybrid support, which is the combination of classical public key crypto such as ECC, together with the post-quantum schemes, is would be pretty a good place to be as well. Some regions are mandating that as a requirement, but also having this implementation security within these algorithms is good right now. In terms of 5 years from now, I think the current schemes should be pretty mature, and they should be very well adopted across the majority of SoCs. Secure boot is becoming mandatory in the majority of applications. So really having PQC in there as part of the secure boot and the platform security would be mandatory within 5 years. I think integration into the full infrastructure, security infrastructure across things like secure boot, firmware updates, and attestation, for example, would be critical. And potentially support for other schemes. The NIST have been open to additional schemes to kind of spread the risk of these new algorithms. So there will be additional key encapsulation schemes and digital signature schemes which are coming along over the next few years as well. So having support for that, ability to update these potentially over the air would make sense. And also, potentially in areas such as communications, networking, these types of things, having offload and acceleration to mitigate the effects of these types of algorithms on the networking traffic would be critical as well in 5 years. This is a type of approach that's kind of quite common for classical crypto such as ECC. So having a similar sort of approach for PQC will really be important to ensure the performance in those types of applications.
Right. So last month, PQ Shield released PQ Platform TrustSys, a root of trust solution for ASIC and FPGA hardware. What are the main challenges that manufacturers are facing when migrating hardware with high security requirements to PQC? And what does the PQ Platform TrustSys offer?
Yeah, so TrustSys is a full PQC first root of trust that we're developing within PQ Shield. There are a number of challenges with implementing PQC within a set at an SoC. These are probably rooted in the fact that PQC algorithms are quite different from classical crypto such as ECC. The hardware acceleration, the memory requirements are usually more in most cases. And they also bring with them a different style of implementation in terms of the mathematics which underpin these algorithms. That means you need new implementations or features to support things like side channel protections, default protections, and ensuring the performance is adequate for those particular applications as well. So really, we have developed this from the ground up to be coming at it from a PQC and hybrid perspective, and that really provides the user and the confidence that they can have a root of trust that meets the needs, not only from a hybrid perspective, so with the classical crypto support as well, but also going forward and into the adoption of PQC as is required by the new standards.
And what other challenges should manufacturers expect in the cryptographic transition, and what are the most critical use cases for PQC implementation?
I guess in terms of manufacturing for semiconductors, is the PQC will be required to be upgraded across the entire supply chain. So everything from tooling that the EDA vendors provide, the software that's used to build the chips, everything is going to have to be quantum safe and comply with the standards. There'll be obviously a transition period in which we're moving from supporting classical crypto through potentially a hybrid phase and into the PQC era. So that will require some education and training for the existing engineers within those companies to be able to adopt these algorithms. Then they'll have to look at how their entire infrastructure works. How do their chips ensure platform security? How do they provide updates over the air? How are they interacting with other software architectures, and ensuring that the entire chain is fully trusted and compliant to these standards. And so platform security is really critical. It's probably one of the first parts that have to be protected in terms of ensuring that we're using PQC signatures to protect the firmware that's running within the chips, for example. We're using PQC compliant or quantum safe algorithms for attestation, ensuring the configuration and validity of the platforms, for example, as well, is critical. And then also, as I touched on the networking side, ensuring we've got some sort of quantum secure algorithm running there as well is important at the moment. There's the potential harvest now decrypt later attack that's been as widely spoken about, is something that's applicable to networking traffic. So it's shifting from using a classical crypto key establishment mechanism to a quantum safe chem based support approach is important as well. So these are the main areas that we see customers trying to look at what they need to do in the next certainly 3 to 5 years.
All right. So last year, PQ Shield unveiled a NIST-ready PQC silicon chip. How are you using this to develop and test IP? What evaluations can you carry out using this chip that weren't possible before?
Yeah, so the test chip was developed to basically allow us to silicon prove our platform family of IPs. So the PQ platform family is all about platform security. It implements side channel countermeasures within the algorithms to ensure implementation security of the PQC algorithms when they're running. So obviously, we went through a full pre-silicon emulation process of looking at the implementation of these algorithms, ensuring that our countermeasures are top notch. But a lot of customers really want to see silicon proven IP. So we took that next step. We developed our own test chip that allowed us to put everything into that chip and then fully validate it. It's a fully programmable chip, so our platform family of IPs is firmware updatable. So that allows us to download new firmware. We can run experiments on this test chip, looking at different optimizations, improving the side channel protection, for example, optimizations to our firmware. We can look at power optimizations and all these different types of things. But really, it's about validation and really showing a real proof point of the capability of PQ Shield to develop full products within this space.
Great. Final question, Graham. How do customers normally engage with PQ Shield?
So we have different ways, but usually we have a lot of customers that are kind of in the semiconductor space, in the security space, and they want to find solutions to this problem. So they have maybe existing IP that they have got from different vendors that provide them security in the classical crypto. So they're looking to understand how to upgrade that. So that's maybe some customers that have an awareness of PQC. Then we also have customers that are coming to us to really learn about PQC and the issue, understand how it affects their environment and their setup. So we have experts at many different levels within PQ Shield. We have people who work on protocols, people who work on pure software versions of primitives, and we have hardware experts and security experts. So that allows us to kind of provide that kind of best in class support. With helping customers really understand what they need to do, and then obviously we can then point them towards how our portfolio of IPs can provide a solution to those problems. So there's a few different angles. It kind of depends on the customer's understanding of crypto and security in the first instance, whether we can direct them straight towards a solution or perhaps they need a little bit of consultancy from us to help them understand the problem space.
Great conversation, Graham. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you, Dan. Thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.